colors pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. A red plus sign soars across the view, revealing white and red letters, Impact Partners. Letters come into focus like a decoded message in front of blurry, drifting feathers, revealing words that read, during times of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. George Orwell. A Netflix original documentary.
So I'm going to swear the testimony you're about to give me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I have never, ever failed a drug test.
In association
Before,
with Impact
during,
Partners.
And after the Olympics, over 160 drug tests. I have never failed a test.
Diamond
For the record,
Docs.
Have you ever used human growth hormone or any other performance-enhancing substance?
Chicago Media no. Project.
I just want to make sure your testimony is clear.
How many times have I said
I've never taken drugs?
How clear is that?
And Alex Productions.
Extraordinary accusations must be followed up with extraordinary proof. Not come up with extraordinary proof.
Over a blurry ball of bright light, a title appears, Icarus. The light grows, filling the screen. The letters disintegrate, and the light returns to a ball. A film by Brian Fogel. The words fade away, as does the light. Over black, text reads, June 2014.
This is mountain bike.
Boulder, Colorado.
Loading up the Thule rack, and this is my entire life in the car right now, set up, ready for insanity. I'm getting ready for the single hardest amateur cycling event in the world. It's basically a miniature Tour de France for insane people.
Does it qualify for anything if you do well with it?
Yeah, stupidity.
A dark-haired man carries a box from an SUV into a house.
You know, and I've been riding for 28 years. Seriously, but never as a professional, going to these massive amateur events that are not professional, but I mean, there's serious guys there.
As he sits on a bed, a dog licks his bare foot.
Max! He loves, he's got a foot fetish.
In biking gear, he pedals a paved two-lane road.
I certainly didn't know when I started on this what it was going to lead to.
Grainy footage shows cyclists in competition.
When Le Mans won that first Tour de France, I was in seventh grade, I think.
Can you believe it? After over 2,000 miles, his name is French, means the world, and this is the world of Red Le Mans in Paris today.
Being the first American to win it, I think really brought me into the sport.
I ate a wheel going about 40 miles an hour. I spent my entire freshman year of college with plastic teeth in my mouth. I would have kept racing if it wasn't for that.
Later, Armstrong came along, and that was a whole other ball of wax.
Ridden off the back wheel of Lance Armstrong, and they cannot respond to this pressure.
The gap is there. He is just going faster, faster, faster.
This has to be the greatest comeback in any sport at all. The fact that Armstrong managed to conquer cancer was unbelievable. Now he's riding at the front of the Tour de France like a Trojan.
Armstrong pumps his fists.
I think I'm a year and a half younger than Lance. He was kind of my hero.
For now, I just like a yes or no. Did you ever take banned substances to enhance your cycling performance?
Yes.
The dark-haired man scans a New York Post headline. It reads, Armstrong to be stripped of 7 tour wins.
I'd always in the back of my mind suspected that he had been doping.
He sorts magazines.
I felt that I didn't really want to know.
He pulls a newspaper from a box.
Because a lot of the guys that he raced with and guys who had raced against him that I'd just known over the years, they were my friends.
If you would have had your choice, you would have never doped. Ever.
Up until it like directly affected me, I was like, I think Lance is probably clean. Like, it's so messy.
A title introduces the other man as Armstrong's teammate, Dave Zabriskie.
The way they got him, this is what nobody understood.
150 times over the last 6 years I've been tested. In competition, out of competition, at home, at a race, 7 in the morning, 7 at night, whatever, and they're all clean.
He never failed a drug test.
Tell me, swear the testimony you're about to give me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
It was his teammates who had turned on him as part of the federal investigation.
A headline reads, teammates testify against Armstrong.
If this guy had passed whatever it is, 500 doping tests over his entire career, clearly the system didn't work.
How many times did you test Lance during his career?
As the laboratory of record, I'm estimating that I would have tested him 50 times, 5-0.
You tested Lance 50 times and never caught him?
Correct.
Text appears, Doug Catlin.
I developed and operated the UCLA Olympic Laboratory for 25 years. I'm known mostly for developing tests so that athletes get caught if they're using drugs.
How did you personally feel every year? Did you believe that it was just Lance?
Do you think that
they were all doping? Every single one of them. Unfortunately, the drugs work.
Archival footage shows athletes.
With certain knowledge, you can get around the testing all the time. It's really easy to beat. Very easy.
Originally, the idea that I had was to prove the system in place to test athletes was bullshit.
A title, Switzerland, August 2014.
I had read about the hardest amateur cycling race on the planet, this 7-day race through the French Alps called the Haute Route.
The dark-haired man and other cyclists compete.
If you were to take the hardest 7 days in the Tour de France, put them all together, back to back to back to back, that would be what this Haute Route course was like.
A stream of riders brave a rainy mountain road.
The first year I did it, totally cleaned. There were 440 masochists.
Later, they pick up downhill speed.
My goal was to be on the top 100.
An aerial view shows a road that cuts along a barren mountain. A title reads, Stage 7, Mount Ventoux, 6,272 feet. The dark-haired man pedals uphill.
After 7 days, 75,000 feet of climbing and 1,000 miles.
Inside a gift shop.
I was destroyed.
He sits cross-legged in the middle of the store. His helmet rests at his feet, and he holds his head. A graphic shows the race results.
But I finished 14th.
At 14th, it reads Fogel Bryan.
There's about 10 guys, it seems, that are on just another level of everybody else. Then there's this next group, and then there's me.
Text reads, on the phone, Don Catlin.
What did you think of the idea?
Well, in certain senses, I like the idea.
It depends on what you consider to be dangerous.
Right.
Testing yourself on these drugs.
But I was curious how you were going to do it.
I might be willing to advise and... Avoid positives. A view of Brian cycling dissolves to an amber sunrise. A subtitle, are you going to take drugs?
Yeah. Basically, go through an entire doping program, but overseen by the scientists. I'm going to have Don Catlin design a program for me that's going to get through every single one of the doping controls in the world. Clean.
Zabriskie grins, touching his temple as he studies Brian. Now, clad in cycling clothes, Brian enters a clinical-looking gym. Handlebars are adjusted on a stationary bike. He climbs onto it with an IV port taped near his elbow.
If I could do that, and I could get away with it, that would mean that pretty much any athlete could do that, and any athlete could get away with it.
He gets an injection. A subtitle, you're going to need a laboratory to test your body fluids.
Wasn't quite sure how he was going to get my samples into the lab yet. The only labs that test professional athletes are WADA-accredited labs.
WADA is the World Anti-Doping Agency.
The labs are set up that you can't just go do this. Because if somebody could just send their samples into a lab, then anybody could figure out how to game the system.
An email to Brian is typed.
And then...
This could damage my reputation that I've worked on for years.
He just started getting worried about his legacy.
My involvement is just not going to work.
He backed out, but, you know, God bless Don Catlin, because he told me that he knew this guy.
The director of the Olympic Lab in Moscow, Grigory Rodchenkov. He's a great old friend.
We talk a few times. He's in Moscow, and that set off this whole chain of events.
A photo shows Grigory Rodchenkov and Catlin together at the 2012 Olympics. Now Brian places a video chat to Grigory, who answers shirtless and fiddles with his computer.
Hi.
Oh, great. It's a secret window. Now it's clean.
Yeah, you look good now.
Yes, you too. Go ahead.
And met with this guy who's going to at least, like, prescribe me the protocol.
But what is your ultimate purpose? You would like to beat doping test? You would like to start your hormonal program?
Yes.
Then give sample and prove negative?
Yes.
You need a very serious advisor, because there are a lot of traps. My dog is playing.
Yeah.
I just came back, and he's very much excited. And he has a special toy.
Yeah, I hear it. Hey, you want to see my dog?
Yes.
Brian picks up Max and holds him up to show Grigory and his wife. Is it male or female?
Male.
Castrated?
No.
So, with balls.
He's got the balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Max.
Max.
Max, yeah.
Testosterone, you have to have a prescription.
Yes, injectable.
Injectable, right. So, now you are clever, huh? Like Lance Armstrong. Send it to me. Names, doses, for how long? So everything should be orchestrated.
How do I do that? Just send you everything I'm going to take?
Yes.
Your one-month schedule, yes.
Yes.
Brian visits a doctor.
We've got three medications that you'll take by injection.
This is 5 times a week.
Yeah, it's all on your regimen sheet. We'll draw up the FCC.
Scott A. Brandt, MD, anti-aging specialist.
Yeah. Your testosterone comes ready to go. This is very, very viscous. It's a very thick substance. So you need a big needle to draw it up. And we're going to pull out. So there's your 0.2 cc's. And that one goes also on the top of your thigh.
Brian grimaces.
I'm a little nervous, but all right.
Okay, yeah. Give me a thigh.
And does it hurt the muscle? Do you flex? Do you not flex?
It's not going to go in your muscle. It's going to go above your muscle. You just pinch it, and we're just going to go just through the skin. That's it. And then we're just going to put that underneath the skin. Did that hurt?
No, not too bad. I mean, I see it there.
It'll go away in no time.
Okay.
That's the HCG.
Oh, shit.
Right next to it. The testosterone, pop it through the skin, and that's all we're looking to do, just through the skin. It's real thick now. And you are pumped up.
Whoa. How long those bumps go down?
They'll go down really quick.
Okay.
Half hour.
Whoa.
Fuck.
And so we begin.
At a bike shop, a crankset's installed on a racing bike.
The ability to go day after day will be something brand new for you, I think.
I'm going to do an injection. Exciting.
Brian injects himself.
I work with one trainer that does a lot of fitness as well as nutrition coaching.
Almost there. Come on, Brian.
You should be able to see a 15 to 20% improvement.
Week one of doping.
What's your dog's name again?
Brongi.
Okay. Did you start your program?
I did.
This is my morning pill popping routine.
He dumps pills into his hand.
And then I prepare the testosterone.
Yes, testosterone propionate.
Yes.
He fills a syringe.
It's really thick. What made you think that Grigory might help me?
Well, it's difficult for me to answer that without saying things about Grigory that aren't very kind.
Over another video chat, Grigory sits with Vrangi. Subtitles appear. Okay, let me think. So you already did for 2 weeks? He's fucking me. The dog humps him. Brian watches on a laptop. Just pee and collect your urine today and drop it into the freezer.
So just pee, take some urine, and put it in the freezer?
In the freezer.
There's day 8, day 10. Needle.
Brian injects his thigh, week 3 of doping.
The testosterone, HGH, it's a weird feeling because it doesn't feel like I'm on anything.
Are you now training? And do you feel a little bit stronger?
Yeah, I really felt stronger.
That's good. 40 milligrams each other day is a very good protocol.
I still had no idea why WADA lab director, who did all the testing for the Sochi Olympics, would agree to do this because his job was supposed to be to catch athletes.
So you want me to do 24,000 units in 1 month?
Yes.
Fuck, man, that's a lot of EPO.
You have just common fears, and it's paranoia. We are imitating. We are reproducing Lance Armstrong's scenario.
I'm getting kind of bruises all over my legs.
Don't disturb your thigh at all. Stop it. You can inject into your thigh muscle, but better to the ass.
Into my ass.
Much more.
Okay.
He injects himself.
This is starting to get ridiculous. Oh, wow. I'm bleeding from that. Okay. Oh, fuck, I'm really bleeding from that one, too. Get some alcohol.
He heads to another room with his backside exposed.
Okay, so then a half of this one.
With a syringe, he jabs his buttocks again and pushes down the plunger.
Oh, fuck.
He sets the needle down beside his laptop and more filled syringes. Nervously, he picks them up.
Okay.
He scratches his scruffy chin.
So that's that.
Later, he video chats with a sports physiologist.
He's like, no, I don't know. You don't do subcutaneous. You put it right into your ass. And no, we go into buttocks, 1 inch into buttocks. Show me that bottle again.
A title identifies the man as Ben Stone, PhD.
Have you seen the movie
with me?
No.
Separate movie.
Which movie?
About Me. A title reads December 9th, 2014. A subtitle, All Athletes in Russia Are Doping. A title reads, How Russia Makes Its Winners, ARD Documentary Germany. The athletes that are under Mr. Rodchenkov, they don't get positive tests. Footage from the doc shows Russian athletes and officials. The laboratory was internationally recognized for its research. Its head scientist is considered an outstanding scientist, Grigory Rodchenkov. Dr. Rodchenkov is informed about everything. He knows how long the drugs need to disappear from the body. He is aware and instructs. He's the most important specialist. The ARD documentary regarding the Russian whistleblowers. What did you think, hearing these allegations?
It was inflammatory enough that they were afraid to run it while the whistleblowers were still in Russia.
Dick Pound.
So they got them out of Russia. Ran the program, and it was a bombshell.
99% of Russian athletes are guilty of doping. That's according to a recent German documentary aired on ARD.
Orders, President Sir Craig Reedy has promised a full-scale investigation, effective immediately.
It is wrong just to make any kind of assumption on allegations in the media. Athletes must be presumed to be innocent until proven guilty. These are wild allegations, wide allegations, and we'll have to check them out.
Craig Reedy had to do something.
Richard McLaren.
That's how the independent commission was created. I had investigative experience that stretched back for a decade and a half and some big investigations like U.S. Olympic committees and Major League Baseball.
And Barnes hits one high! It's a game!
Again, Dick Powell.
Our mandate was athletics, the track and field, and Russia. The WADA chairman named this independent commission and said, let's get at it.
The anti-doping agency wants a report by the end of the year, and athletics officials say they'll cooperate. It's unclear, though, what actions might be taken. Thomas Dagg of CBC News.
Is it going to be okay? Is it going to pass over? Is this going to cause you...
No. It's growing.
It's growing.
It's like a tornado coming. Okay, so you are receiving how many units? Ocean waves lap against the shore at night.
Gregory, the Moscow scientist I've shown you, who did all the testing for Sochi, who's now at the center of this big Russian doping scandal, like Russia was doping their athletes in the 80s, and apparently they've never stopped.
On video chat, Dr. Stone.
The crazy thing is Richard Pound, you know, the guy who was the head of WADA for 15 years, has actually been hired to lead the investigation against Gregory.
I don't know what you want me to do with that.
Meaning?
I don't know how... Shit, my computer's about to die. I don't know how...
You have a charger?
Grab my power cord. I'll be right back.
All right.
Stone steps away momentarily.
I mean, you know, there might be someone else out there that might be a better decision or choice. You're using this guy as your outlet for coaching. I don't need to tell me and what you're comfortable with.
Well,
you know,
I mean,
like,
here's how I'm kind of looking at it.
You know, you can find someone else.
If you call him doping doctors, I don't know what you would label Gregory. I mean, is he a biochemist? I don't even know. It doesn't even matter. I don't like this shit.
Look, there's no finding someone else.
At a kitchen counter, Brian fills a syringe and injects himself in the hip. 2 months of doping. Brian races a bike along a mountainside. Then he three-way video chats with Dr. Brandt and Gregory.
Your numbers look great. Your testosterone is pretty much right where we want you.
Gregory, what's the typical washout for urine to go to negative from a full treatment of testosterone? How many days does that take usually? 7?
For Brian,
2 weeks will be nice.
Is there any way that we can test that here in the States, or it's got to go back to you to test those frozen urines?
It's the only way, but again, I am under heavy control. WADA now. They have inquiry about me.
Yes.
So you see, like me, I'm a very dangerous person.
How do you think is the best way to basically get that test done?
Maybe, hopefully, I would like to do this, to come to maybe L.A. and to smuggle something to Russia, some urines from you.
You know, could we send him to Salt Lake City or another lab?
No. It's strictly prohibited. Over a wide view outside an airport, text appears. May 15, 2015. Inside, Brian meanders past travelers and greets Gregory. They hug. Gregory checks out Brian's waist. Subtitles appear. You are so skinny. You're skinny. Gregory has white hair and a bushy mustache.
All the urine that's in my freezer, we have to unfreeze it.
Yes, we unfreeze. Then we homogenize to make sure everything is melted. I took special falcons, test tubes, for smuggling urine. We will make a scenario like I am collecting my urine. Gregory 1, morning, evening, 28, Gregory 2. Then we recode them. Otherwise, what is the source of urine and why?
The goal during this 2 to 3 week period is to push you to an extreme.
At a table sit Brian, Stone, a cyclist, and Gregory, who gets kisses from Max. He loves me. No. Don't kick Max. It's okay. Gregory gently moves Max away. It's not good time. Later, Brian and the other cyclist ride racing bikes.
15-second acceleration whenever you want.
Dr. Stone drives Gregory in a convertible alongside. We need girls, cheerleaders.
Right, exactly.
Maybe we can get you some pom-poms.
I was working here in 1989 when Catlin was in big power and laboratory was located in UCLA, the campus.
20 years ago, we had decided to develop a way to get actually friendly with what was then the Soviets. We, the U.S., would invite Soviets to come to the U.S. and pick and choose athletes that they wanted to test, bring them in and test them where the Soviets were watching. Gregory was the first representative. You know, he shows up at the second day of work in bright orange shorts and announces that he's going to enter the Santa Monica Marathon. And he won the darn thing. He's a good athlete.
I was almost a professional in running. 1,500 meters and 5 kilometers in Moscow University. My mother always pushed me to swim, to ski. I realized that some people are using something. Last year, he was nobody. Next year, he has muscles. Of course, I also started to use the best of the best, Stanozolol. And all injections were done by my mother.
And of course, it was 50 milligrams, the simple thing.
Wait, your mother injected you?
Yes, of course.
But if you are not national team level like Olympic, you cannot afford any more trainee camp. Photos show Gregory competing. So I graduated to Moscow University, to the chemical department. I like doping control. I liked sports. And since 1985, I worked in the top field of laboratories in the world. And then Moscow Lab was doing mistake by mistake. We need a new director, and it will be upheld by WADA. That's how I became director. Dr. Stone and the cyclist drive away, leaving Brian and Grigory at a beach house.
Should I be taking the HGH and the testosterone now?
Let's look at your protocol. I have to catch all schematics, starting from the new year.
Starting from the new year.
Okay, so we'll sit down with the piece yes, of paper.
And with, the piss, and then with the tubes. We just take a fraction, and then it will be coded and took for analysis.
So here's day one, okay? Here's day two.
Brian sets out his urine samples on a table.
Day four, day five.
Seven, eight, nine. We have nine urines, okay? So we are starting.
And that one I just took. Is that enough, or do I need any more?
It's okay.
Okay.
Three.
You got the real code.
I am Mafia.
This is Mafia.
Grigory swirls a container of urine. Chased by WADA. Could you imagine? The best laboratory will be puzzled with your piss. In Russia, the empire of evil. Propaganda. He transfers the urine into a specimen tube.
Oh, God, what is that?
It's flakes. Your flakes.
What is that?
Your sins. Grigory positions a plastic bag that holds containers of urine as Brian seals it closed with packing tape. Grigory tosses the bag up and catches it again. Outside, carrying the sealed bag of urine samples, he walks toward the rear of the silver car. With a key fob, he pops the trunk, opens a suitcase inside, and stuffs Brian's pee beneath bags and clothes, then zips up the suitcase, closes the trunk, and dusts his hands together.
When I come to Moscow in September after the race, then I can drink.
Okay, next time.
If I survive.
Brian drives the silver car. Grigory rides passenger. At my lab, WADA is keeping laboratory at a very short leash.
Asking many questions.
All sorts of bullshit. Where is your underground laboratory for pre-testing? Where is the shadow laboratory? Of course, my laboratory is fully under cameras and everything, computers, barcodes. But they were looking for something.
They were looking for something.
Like a secret lab?
Yes. Underground.
Batman?
Yes.
Who owns the lab?
The state.
The state does.
Yes.
Okay, we have Terminal 1, departing flight. The car stops outside an airport terminal. Brian gets the suitcase for Grigory, who holds a pen.
Keep it.
It's my donation.
No.
I have a lot, you see. All people are presenting me with pens. So I have a full collection. Remember me.
Okay, so you know, so I'm going to tell you.
They embrace.
Thanks for coming.
Be very careful with what you're recording. It's not permitted. It's like pornography and erotics.
Sports pornography and erotics, how we are.
And I see you in September.
Yes, definitely. Professor Richard McLaren, independent commission member.
Did you go to Moscow?
No, I did not. Dick Pound did not. We wanted to send an investigative group of WADA specialists into the Moscow lab. The director of the lab, he was the last fail-safe position, right? If there is a sample that's potentially positive, where can you stop it from being reported? In the lab. So he was interviewed. Didn't provide us with much in the way of information.
Please tell me all my frozen piss didn't explode in your bag.
But this is big secret. Brian,
yes.
I have all urines. We analyze urines for your steroid profile. Everything is kept frozen. I have a full agenda, so don't worry.
Don't worry.
Okay.
A title appears, 5 months of doping. We did preliminary tests, but not much. When WADA will leave, they are leaving tomorrow night. Then maybe Friday, or maybe Monday, anyway.
WADA is there bothering you?
It's much more challenging. WADA is sniffing and asking tons of questions. Dick Pound, you know Dick Pound?
Yes.
He's starting to understand it's very difficult to prove something.
What do you see the outcome or the solution as?
We will see. You just focus on racing. A title appears, 3 weeks until Haute Route. With Stone at his side, Brian trains atop his bike. It's fixed in place in an exam room. He wears a mask connected to a long plastic tube. A computer screen shows his metabolic readings.
This is already better than last time.
Last year, 250 watts. This year, 349. It's 100 watts.
My power right now is 20% more than I had last year.
Yes. Finally, you have some gains. Some gains, some progression.
I can't wait to come to Moscow.
Brian, it will be fantastic.
I shouldn't bring any EPO with me to Europe, right?
No.
Okay.
You complete everything until 17th. The last injection is on U.S. soil.
Okay.
Before you're passing the border and the customs, then you're taking urine with you to me, and we'll complete your biological passport. That's it. A title, 4 days until Haute Route.
Words cannot describe what you'll be living through this week. Your body's going to shut down. It's going to break down entirely.
Nice, France, August 2015.
We are on the French Cycling Federation calendar, and we do have an anti-doping policy.
As far as testing for PEDs, the race says that they do.
They may come and test. So you're aware.
As I came to learn, they don't.
Don't worry.
But I had Gregory. He had helped me dope, and he was going to test my samples through his WADA lab in Moscow.
So, be clever.
Have not done urine samples since I've been here.
You are like a pioneer.
So I'm going to pee in this little bag here.
You are a victim of your ideas. Brian seals the bag.
August 21st.
See you at the end.
And good luck tomorrow.
Start time tomorrow morning, 7:15.
In a hotel room. And I am now like a priest. I am healing your doping paranoia. Brian removes bags of urine from a hotel room mini fridge. You are free. You have enough power, and God is with you. You are sentenced to win.
So the scheme was now in place.
Geared up, riders approach the Haute Route start line.
Raise your arms! Are you ready?
Caution lights flank a sign that reads, Tête de course, atop the roof of a silver hatchback. A checkered flag is lowered and riders launch from the starting line. Under a gray sky, the cyclists speed down a shoulderless two-lane city street, then in a pack, maneuver up a mountain around a sharp curve. Now, daylight shines on the riders as they continue single file down a slight decline. An overhead view looks down at the course, which snakes dramatically through four station. Brian stops, waiting as his tire is pumped. Then he's off again. An aerial view soars over a rocky mountain ridgeline. A rider cruises through a checkpoint in a village and pumps his arms. Men run alongside Brian. A photographer snaps a shot as Brian zips through the checkpoint, where Dr. Stone greets him.
Be great. You were 3.5 minutes behind Cooley.
Okay. Not bad. No, that's fucking great.
You guys were hauling ass.
Brian's name appears in 11th place on a graphic of race stands. Clowns roll in. Tires kick up rain. Stage 2, Col de la Bonette, 8,907 feet.
Brian's in the gruppetto. He's in there with like the top 10 guys, man.
All the guys in the top 10 are incredible.
Very good, very good.
They could be pro.
You are a monster. Medium-sized monster. Grigory grins at Brian. A title, Stage 4, Croix de Fer, 6,781 feet.
Brian Fogel, can you hear me?
Riding in a car, Stone holds a walkie.
Can't raise him on the walkie-talkie. Brian, come back.
Now, he waits along the side of a road.
Brian!
He waves Brian over.
It has to be charged. The battery's dead.
Nope.
It needed to be charged.
No, it won't go up, you see? It's dead. It's totally dead.
They examine Brian's bike.
Fuck!
Brian starts off again.
My derailleur, my shifting, it broke.
Your bike?
Yes.
So you cannot shift your gears?
For 100 kilometers.
He slips into 24th in standing. My goodness.
I dropped 10 places in the rankings.
Brian sits on a hotel bed with his laptop. My God.
I feel
like that I'm really stronger this year. Like
he video chats with Dr. Brett.
I mean, like I'm hauling ass, but they're I'm not beating them. They're in a different.
You know, there's guys that I don't know that you could beat on your best day. It sounds like.
Back on the road, stage 6, called the Madeline, 6,538 feet.
My whole kind of plan was to have a substantially better performance this year. And I'm not.
Glumly, he sits on the edge of a bed in another hotel. Later on the course, he takes a break beside a race vehicle.
Does it hurt that you did better last year than you did this year?
I mean, I could have been 21 years old and taken all the blood bags and EPO in the world, and I was still not going to be a Tour de France champion. It doesn't matter.
Stage 7, Cry Free, 4,845 feet. Just stay optimistic.
Stay optimistic.
Because now we can change nothing. As Brian approaches another checkpoint, the race standing graphic shows him now at number 27.
The leader, Peter Pulley.
Pulley poses for photos with two other cyclists.
I mean, I've felt pretty good. I've just had some bad luck days.
Brian, look at me.
Stop
it. You are what you are. I am what I am. It's a turning point, what we are doing. You should be happy that we have such fantastic material. We have 10 times more information than Dick Pound and Lance Armstrong together.
Really?
We will continue. Don't worry. You are just like in the reception. You did not enter the first floor. Then there is a second, and so on.
What's on the second floor?
When you come to Moscow, you will see. A traveling view moves with traffic through a tunnel along a multi-lane roadway, then continues across a bridge over the Moskva River toward the Kremlin. September 2nd, 2015.
How many tests? I mean, I've probably had 15 or 20 blood tests.
It's more than enough.
Okay. Is this the laboratory?
Yes. Oh, you see, this is bloody Rusada. Bringing samples is not too good to show our camera to them.
Oh, you want us to hide?
Yes.
Okay.
Be very careful with all your material. People are very sensitive also, you know. This is my director place. It's the most famous laboratory in the world, Grigory Parks. Inside,
you see again, we cannot say
explicitly that you have been analyzed. It's coming. I already solved everything yesterday. You will have it until, let's say, within 2 weeks we will do this. But it should be done still, say, under the table, not...
Okay.
Brian, smile. Your race is over. We have to go downstairs. Grigory unlocks a door and holds it open for Brian.
Are there scientists or those working in WADA laboratories today that you suspect could have been corrupted?
Each director of laboratory, like me, I have to sign code of ethics that what we are doing is not harmful or detrimental to the whole anti-doping society. They stroll through a hallway with brick-colored walls. We go down this emergency exit. Grigory uses a badge around his neck to unlock a door, then leads Brian down some stairs, through another door, and into a lab room.
What did Russia have to do with the hiding blood passports of all the athletes?
Let's talk in my office. The two head back upstairs. If you hide fight against doping, you cannot be 50% honest. You have to be honest, or you have to hide the ends.
It's the same as
Orwell, 1984. WADA, it's like a religion, and you cannot escape. You have to think about money, but you cannot steal money. You have to think about women, but you have to be married, and don't go to prostitution.
But again,
almost everybody has some period when they were sinners. So what to do? There is no answer.
For the last 5 months, I took urine, and then I did blood.
Yes,
we have a good database.
How do we go about the analysis? What do we want to show? How do we put together the bigger story up?
Brian, be optimistic. Smile. Grigory takes a picture of Brian on his phone. I have vodka for you.
You do?
Yes. The best vodka.
What kind?
From Mordovia.
Awesome. Do you drink vodka?
Yeah, I like vodka.
I have vodka for you.
I've decided I'm not going to leave Russia. I'm going to stay here.
You would like to stay in Russia? Russia? Yes. Russia is the most relaxing country in the world.
You think?
No.
Grigory pats the top of one of his hands with the other. Later, inside a banquet hall, video from a camera phone shows Grigory sitting with his wife. You having fun? Grigory looks into the camera. Yes, we have fun. He gestures for his wife to look at the videographer. A belly dancer performs. Later, Grigory stands with a group holding a microphone. Brian, smiling, a woman approaches the videographer with open arms. A group of men sing into a microphone and a cake is wheeled out on a cart. As lights strobe, illuminating people on the dance floor, Grigory shimmies, moving his hands up and down with his elbows at his waist. He's helped onto a platform by another man. Along with Brian, they pose in the back row for a group shot. At night, lights glow from the wings and cabin windows of an airplane that takes off from a runway. Over black, a title, November 9th, 2015.
Ladies and gentlemen, members of the media, welcome to Geneva. Almost a year ago, very serious doping allegations were first raised on German television channel ARD. The WADA president, Sir Craig Reedy, announced that a full and thorough inquiry would be conducted. The founding president of the World Anti-Doping Agency, Mr. Dick Pound, the chair of that commission.
At a press conference.
Overwhelming portions of the allegations made on the ARD program have been found by the independent commission to be true. It's worse than we thought. We have found cover-ups. We found destruction of samples in the laboratories. We found payments of money in order to conceal doping tests, among others. Our conclusion was that all of this could not have happened and continue to happen without the knowledge of and either actual or implied consent of the state authorities.
Reading 40 pages of this report is Gregory.
It's hard to imagine what the Russian state interest in athletes' urine would be. I mean, one of our big concerns about tests were the 1,400 that were destroyed by the director of the Moscow laboratory. In fact, our recommendation is the director of the laboratory be removed from his position, that the WADA accreditation be withdrawn, and the Russian Federation be suspended.
Wearing a look of concern, Brian sits at his computer. Brian, hi.
Hi.
He holds his phone.
Where did Gregory go?
I've been crying. Yes, I am with him, and I think maybe you want to speak with him. Maybe he's a little bit nervous.
I'm so sorry. I'm trying to understand what you're saying.
I'm absolutely saying that we will overturn all this bullshit, and it will be upside down. So, Brian, I hardly could talk to you tonight. On the news.
The details are damning and could have a profound impact on the future of Russian athletics.
This WADA commission has accused Russian athletics of state-sponsored doping.
A title reads Nikita Kamaev, Executive Director, Russian Anti-Doping Agency. We are preparing our response to again provide any explanation needed. That's all I can say at this point.
Does this mean they could potentially miss next year's Olympics?
Well, that is certainly one of the potential outcomes here.
The International Olympic Committee have released a statement within a
Thomas
few
Bach, IOC
you
president.
You will see athletes being sanctioned by the IAAF. You will see athletes and officials being excluded. And you will see an action led by the IOC will apply this zero tolerance policy.
Decision time for the IAAF on whether Russia's track and field athletes will be allowed to compete.
Sebastian Coe, President IAAF.
I want to hear what the Athletics Federation of Russia is actually saying in answer to those allegations.
The sports minister, Vitaly Mutko, has said Russia took all the necessary measures, he says, to fight the doping problem. Moscow's anti-doping lab was recently recognized as one of the best in the world.
A CNN news crew stands outside the Russian lab.
You don't want to talk to us. Right, well, the employees at this
this lab are clearly being very tight-lipped, but the report from the World Anti-Doping Agency goes into great detail describing the alleged activities inside that building.
There are around 50 correspondents behind my fence, but I am here. And I am not supposed to talk. Brian, stay quiet. You're a lucky man. Only you knowing me. Their video chat ends.
Holy shit.
Brian checks the news.
Today, the World Anti-Doping Agency suspended Russia's sports drug testing lab, and the head of the lab resigned.
Footage shows Grigory walking away from a guarded fence. Grisha, be careful what you tell him now. Don't tell me. I am just... He's holding on the phone for you. Tell them I will call them back in... It sounds serious. I will call them back in 5 minutes. Okay, but will you? Yes, go away. Fine. Brian. It's a disaster. They're just killing people. Cutting heads, you know? Without who is guilty. Yesterday, you know, I went to Minister Mukko, and we started to discuss. He was talking, blah, 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 about football. Blah, 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 about Formula One. Then to say what to do with bloody doping, but he say, could you resign? I go, yes. Today? Yes, today. And I resigned. And they lost director. I have a lot of calls, but I'm just changing my telephones. People are looking for their job, but laboratory is almost empty.
I mean, I don't know what's going on. I just know what I'm reading in the newspaper and in the press. And,
Brian fans out a thick document. Oh, really?
I mean, so will they come after you? Are they going to arrest you? Are they going to... Would they try to put you in jail? I mean...
In jail? No. What is the reason for jail? No.
Like, are you in any danger?
Yes, but not jail. It could be some... I don't know.
I mean,
do you know that I am now moving with a security man?
Security guard.
No.
Just a security guard in my home.
In your home.
Coming to my car, I'm following behind. It's recommended until the end of the week because I am the only man who can kill both sides, Russia and WADA. So, stay quiet. A title reads, Vitaly Mutko, Minister of Sport. Subtitles read, let me say this, in reality, the Independent Commission's report and statements made by Mr. Powell are exaggerated. We've even built a modern, state-of-the-art anti-doping laboratory that is renowned for its testing for the Olympics, Paralympics, championships, and more, and received the highest merits for its contributions. The government is merely financing the laboratory operation. They don't accept this independent commission at all. They're deliberately lying. Brian, look at me. It means I could be tossed to the bus anytime. I'm not sure that we are connecting freely, because now we are on radar, that's for sure. You know Snowden?
Yeah, of course.
Now you see. We still don't know. We still don't know whether Russia is participating in Olympic Games or not. The outcome, why I am very much cautious about my life. If me will be purged, okay, Russia will go to Olympics. The problem is to survive.
Listen, joking, you know...
Stop it.
I'm worried about you.
Yes. Tomorrow, I'll drop you. And then when I say, how is weather in Los Angeles? Or anything related weather? He rubs his forehead. It means that we will talk in 15, 20 minutes. Be ready to talk. November 13, 2015, Sebastian Coe addresses reporters.
Tonight, our sport finds itself in a shameful situation. And that is why I can confirm that the council has overwhelmingly voted with immediate effect to suspend the Russian Federation. It's done so.
Text reads, the governing body for global track and field events, the International Association of Athletics Federations, votes to suspend the Russian Athletic Federation from all competition, including the Rio Olympics. In a boardroom, men in suits sit at long tables arranged in a rectangle. They rise as Vladimir Putin enters the room. He sits in front of six white, blue, and red striped flags. Subtitles appear. Regarding the recent events connected to our track and field team, I urge the sports minister and all my sports colleagues to make this their number one priority. This is the first step. Secondly, it is vital to conduct our own internal investigation. Sport should be fair. Responsibility should be personalized. And absolute. On another video chat between Brian and Grigory. Brian. I need to escape and to walk. You can go whatever you want. I will be doggy sitting at your home.
So you want to get out?
Yes, simply.
What do you want to, what do you want to...
It's very suspicious when you have one-way ticket, you know?
Yeah, no, you have to book a round trip.
Grigory looks away from Brian toward his wife nearby.
Brian.
Yeah.
What I am doing myself, I can do nothing.
So...
Okay?
I'll send you, let me figure out some flight options, okay?
Grigory holds his head.
Okay.
I'm going to get the flight for you, right now.
Yes, right now.
Okay.
Go.
Okay.
Also, some security measures will be set.
How will I know that you made it through okay?
Grigory rests a fist over his mouth. I don't know. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. A view out the window of a car appears sideways. Brian? Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay.
Just left my security man.
Okay.
I am very much dizzy, paranoid. We'll get you here. My wife and my children decided maybe better to stay in Russia. Just gotta make sure in the U.S. that you're okay also. My daughter. Yes. She's getting married. Right. Married. Everything. The view writes itself. It's time. Okay. Cross fingers now.
You too.
Remember Orwell. We will meet each other where there is no darkness. The view moves from inside a car to looking out a cabin window as an airplane lifts off.
When I first interviewed you
a year ago, I asked you if you thought your investigation would be a defining moment in the history of sport. How would you answer that question now? Dick Pound.
Yes, it can be a defining moment, and I think it should. You've got your number one Olympic sport in the crosshairs, and you've got one of the major Olympic countries in the world in the crosshairs, even if it's the crosshairs only on athletics at the moment, that has the potential of affecting the credibility of all sport, and therefore the continued viability of all sport. Why would I watch an event that's fixed?
A title, November 17, 2015. Looking out the windshield of a car from the back seat, a view shows Los Angeles International Airport. The car moves through a tunnel. Brian bites a ticket stub as he parks in a garage. His sneakers trek over the white lines on pavement of a crosswalk. Now inside, he searches faces in the crowd, moving through the airport. Nervously, he holds his hand over his upper lip, then types a text message. Travelers step past him, pulling wheeled suitcases and pushing luggage carts. Grigory emerges.
There he is.
He spots Brian and waves. The two men hug. This is, yes, escaped alive.
Come on.
Brian wraps an arm around Grigory, patting him on the shoulder.
Then you did what?
Destroyed my computer from my working place. I took hard disk, and also, I have three copies. It's a historical moment. Producer Dan Kogan. Grigory, I want you to know that I understand your desire to be visible, and I think that's very important for you to be safe. I was on the phone yesterday with the lawyer for Edward Snowden. They have some recommendations. I have everything with me, and also I destroyed my office computer, put it in a very safe place, and dropped there like a dummy. We'll talk in a few hours. Later that night, Grigory carries his suitcase through an alley behind apartments.
This is it.
Brian leads him to a gate separating two of the buildings.
It's like a labyrinth.
Grigory follows him through the gate, and they continue around the side of one of the apartment buildings. Brian opens a door.
Okay. This is the place.
Good.
Here's...
Inside an apartment.
Bed, bathroom.
Secure place. It's a good thing.
This will work at least till we get what the plan is and what we're going to do.
He goes to me. He remembers me since May. You will be learning Russian. You will be learning Russian very soon. I'm missing dogs. He unzips his suitcase. Now Don Catlin.
There was one thing that I noticed in the IC report, and that was that there were KGB people hanging around the lab. And that's a real no-no. You know, KGB people are not nice people.
Grigory drops a pair of sandals to the floor. So I am at home.
We will banish all those who have a suspicious reputation from the leadership of Russian athletics.
Vitaly Mutko.
In 60 days, we will present a renewed athletics with new people. And together with...
So if the KGB, I guess they're called the FSB now, they're in the lab.
Who else could finance them but Vitaly Mutko?
I don't think Vitaly Mutko finances the FSB. That's a state security operation.
But Putin?
Well,
again, whoever, Dick Pound.
Whoever finances it and runs the state security apparatus is it's not the sport minister.
A title reads, December 2015.
Officials are essentially saying, look, there may be some problems, but we are trying and have already taken steps to address those problems. And all of the officials are essentially rejecting the idea that there's still a major problem.
Standing outside his apartment, Grigory makes a call.
Yes.
Honey, hi, I'm here, far away and in the darkness. You see them all, wearing fancy suits, ties, making speeches on TV? It's all a farce. Of course, I was very disappointed when laboratory was closed. He shaves his chin. Now, reading this IC report, I am just watching with another's eyes. Shirtless, he stands at a bathroom mirror wearing eyeglasses and a pair of bright-colored shorts and shaves his cheeks. I know that I could change the past, telling the truth. He rinses his hands in the sink, then splashes his face with water. But would you like telling the truth? You will be annihilated. Now he removes a worn paperback copy of George Orwell's novel 1984 from his things. A piece of tape runs along its spine. George Orwell, I was reading the first in 1989. I was 30. Reclined, he reads. Before that time, in Soviet Union, the book 1984, it was strictly prohibited. For me, it was totally shocking. Especially, ignorance is strength. This is the most powerful thing. It was my weapon. It gave me definitions. It gave me coordinates, how you can apply to your life. It's like a roadmap. He reads a passage. There are three stages in your reintegration, said O'Brien. There is learning. There is understanding, and there is acceptance. From blackness, a patchy checkered pattern of light glowing inside windows of skyscrapers illuminates. It's time for you to enter upon the first stage. The view dissolves to a pale background with a charcoal-colored illustration of a human brain. Above it, text reads, Stage 1, Learning.
I was thinking that we'd start, I ask you questions, and you answer yes. Or no.
Brian sits across a table from Grigory.
Does Russia have a systematic statewide doping system in place to cheat the Olympics?
Yes.
Yes.
Were you the mastermind of a statewide system that cheated the Olympics?
Of course, yes.
Yes.
Russia won a total of 73 medals in the 2008 Beijing Olympics. How many of those athletes were dirty?
30.
Russia won 81 total medals in London. How many of those were dirty?
Or even more. 50% for sure. Let it be 50%.
They were earned using special programs, state-sponsored, of course.
Was Putin aware of the existence of a Russian doping system?
Yes, aware of my name. He took me from the prison for such special affair.
From prison?
Yes. To redeem.
Okay, let's back up one sec here. My concern is that, you know, it's something that they would use to discredit you.
Of course.
So, the first criminal investigation against you, when was it and what happened?
It's not easy to say how it happened. Before 2008, China was the biggest producer of anabolics. It was produced in a pharmaceutical, well-equipped, good manufacturing practice. No contamination, high qualities, and all these anabolics are coming to Europe, to the United States. It's the same like in Russia. Of course, at that time in Russia, as the head of laboratory, I was a part of system. There are three or four top-level witch doctors. Like Portugalov. Portugalov was the famous anabolic coach of Russian national team. It was Soviet time. He was before me. Portugalov is conveyor of athletes. He has his own protocols, and he really had great success. And then they became Olympic champions. The problem began in 2008. Jacques Rogge, the president of the Olympics, told government of China, you are Olympic country, but you are producing anabolics in bulk. You cannot do like this anymore. Stop it. They stop it, officially. But who is supplying steroids to national team? Before, there was not any concern. You buy stanozolol, it's stanozolol. But Portugalov was so confident offering and providing things which were not proven or tested. They have impurities which could be detectable. Oh, Portugalov say, what to do? I spent so much money for this. Maybe you could advise to do. What advice? Drop it to the trash. Now, in Moscow laboratory, we had the best sensitivity and detection limits. I'm very proud that I created the test for long-term metabolites, which caused the detection window to enlarge from 2 or 3 weeks to 6 months. That's why Portugalov suddenly had so many positives. All people on the national team, they came to ask, where to get these steroids? I knew one source. Suddenly, I was coordinating the whole steroid program.
So you were cutting out Portugalov?
Yes, but what I was doing, I was saving national team from purchasing dirty steroids. He scratches his cheek. Eventually, I don't know whether it was by purpose, I fight with Portugalov. Then I became enemy. Criminal narcotic police came to my home. They took my computer and they said, then we arrest you on Monday.
Arrest you on Monday.
I was in such depression and my will was paralyzed. And I decided to escape. I don't know how. I took some knife from, very, very sharp, from my wife's kitchen. I drank whiskey. I sit to the bath.
And it
goes so smooth. Then, in the water, I see how blood is doing like this. It wasn't very strong, the lock. My wife opened door. A Russian ambulance travels along a snow-plowed road. Then, on a line art sketch of a man's torso, an incision appears below his left pectoralis major. My heart was seared. It was a very good surgeon. And since I was considered to be suicide, I was sent to a psychiatric clinic. After seeing that I am depressed, they started to give me such crazy drugs.
I was
totally out of reality. In an illustration, Grigory sits in the corner of a prison cell. He wears a straitjacket and a pair of antlers protrude from his head. On the walls, a set of eyes comes to life and a cartoon plays. And then again, something happened. The criminal police, they sentenced me to another psychiatric clinic, which is for those who are sadists, who are totally worst of the worst criminals. They respected me very much. I was called professor, but I get better, better, better. The most funny thing, they allowed me to use computer, so I was working in psychiatry clinic like a head of laboratory director, advising the whole Russian national team. That time, I received from Olympic Committee an invitation to London 2012 Olympic Games, being the director. Russian ministry was a little bit uncertain that I am criminal in full. But Wada said, if not Rodchenkov, we don't see in Russia any other candidate than him. If you don't send him to London, we'll send another director. You can imagine how important information from London laboratory is for national team. I had information, what testing this London laboratory is doing to understand where we are and how much is danger. Without this, all Russian doping situation will be collapsed. Thanks to God, Mutko understood this. I received call from the Moscow investigators. Grigory, your case is dropped.
Who took care of it? Who got the charges dropped?
Putin. Of course. It's my redemption. Success in Sochi, instead of being in prison. A view travels past an illustration of Putin to the Sochi Olympic cauldron, then on cell phone video recorded in a restaurant. We are two workers, Kamaev and Rodchenkov, with a mission in mind. This is not a mission. This is revolution. This is anti-WADA strategy. Of course, the camera turns to Kamaev.
The former head of Russia's anti-doping agency, RUSADA, has unexpectedly died.
February 15th, 2016.
Nikita Kamaev's death comes just 2 months after he resigned his post, which is obviously following the doping scandal that has rocked Russia and the rest of the world in athletics.
Inside Grigory's apartment living room, he and Brian watched the news. No. Grigory steps out into the night through a set of French doors. I have to see.
We're told by RUSADA, which is the doping agency that he's formerly the head of, that he appears to have had a massive heart attack.
Of course. Brian? I'm here. You know, my friend. My friend? Died. I show you. Grigory shows Brian a text thread.
Grisha, Nikita умер.
It means Grigory, Nikita died. He scrolls down the text to attachments of photos of Nikita. He's my friend since school time, and he never complained about his heart or any health problem. And he had a young wife. They dreamed about children. I was talking to him day before. Still, I cannot understand. It cannot be like this.
He wrote a book.
It's dangerous to write book in Russia.
I don't know. We have to figure this out because
of course.
Do you think that they would?
Brian, we are playing the most danger game in the history of sport. WADA, ready to pay everything for me and for you to disappear. Because we destroy not only their future, we destroy their past.
You know,
there is very bad man still not mentioned. Deputy Minister of Mutko. He could kill everybody. He's a KGB man. He's very dangerous. He has no moral at all. Oh, Nikita is writing book. 52. Oh, he's tired. He's desperate. Please prepare obituary for the next week. Can you imagine? I can imagine easily. we should be very much careful.
Who are you reporting to?
Yuri Nagornia, Vice Minister. A photo shows a heavy-set man. He was practically involved in everyday routine.
So you would report to Yuri?
Yes.
Yuri would report to Mutko?
Yes.
And Mutko reported to Putin?
Yes.
Photos show the connection from Grigory to Putin, a title, March 9th, 2016.
You know,
there is no rest if you are paranoid. It was around 12:30, 1 o'clock at night. Or 2, I don't know. They were just hanging around, so... Somebody in the courtyard? Yes. Two strong men knocked my door and appeared from darkness. They asked me to let them in, and they came here. And we were talking about sport, about many irrelevant or auxiliary things. They knew about death of Nikita Kamayev. About, first of all, my boss, Minister Mutko. It was inspection and exhausts my nerves. And they finally gave me subpoena. United States District Court. You see, it's for me, to Grigory Rodchenkov.
That you're commanded to appear in front of the grand jury.
He shows his summons. Later, sunlight shines on Grigory, who rides in a car wearing a jacket and sunglasses.
He had been approached by two FBI agents.
Ed Steer, legal counsel to the filmmakers.
They want him to go to New York and appear in a grand jury and to provide his information. It triggered a whole series of decisions that had to be made.
Steer, the filmmakers, and Grigory meet with a potential defense lawyer.
And both of these guys are not your everyday agent.
But why did they come to him to begin with? They want him for something else that they're doing. They didn't come to him for himself. Obviously, they're trying to make a case, and they found out he was in L.A.
His boss, Mutko, was actually the guy...
So why was he able to survive?
Well, because he's Putin's best friend. He's the head of the sports ministry.
Just what sort of crime?
Crime?
I could be done against or under U.S. legislature. The United States Justice Department loves to charge broad conspiracies. You know, that's their favorite charging instrument. That you conspired with Mutko and others to... What is the conspiracy? It was conspiracy since 1980. Let's reconsider Moscow Olympic Games and then reconsider situation in the United States in 1984. How Kaplan was, this is... They're looking for him to plead to what's called a cooperation agreement. And what happens is, he cooperates, and at the end of the day, the judge generally wouldn't incarcerate him, most likely.
Well, first of all, we don't know whether that's... what the Bureau is interested in at this point.
If we turn down, they could indict him.
We can talk to these guys about this.
Producer Dan Kogan.
The most important thing is
he is not sent back to Russia, where he would certainly be assassinated.
We've been discussing with Grigory whether or not he should go public in some way prior to the Olympics.
Prior to the Olympics. And what you're saying is that if he's established as a cooperating witness, he may not be able to do that. That's right, which is a downside. But once Grigory's public, I think he's in much less danger, because then if the Russians do anything to hurt him, it makes them look very guilty. Except they'll just say he had a heart attack, like they did. Grigory, look at me. Is it in your best interest to break the story?
You mean to disclose?
We have to disclose. May 5 to 7, 2016. Grigory and Brian meet over 3 days with a team of reporters from the New York Times, providing interviews and evidence.
I strongly suggest
stay only with a list of 36 athletes.
Okay. But they're about to publish, and they're asking us how they can verify the authenticity of the Sochi list.
Yes, this is most important.
It's authentic document. It was in Sochi on my table.
Okay.
And if you go behind this list, there is creation date.
And this list came from the ministry.
Of course.
Rebecca,
you have the file. So under properties of the file, you can see it was created Tuesday, January 21st from the ministry.
Grigory rides a subway, May 7th to 10th, 2016. Grigory spends 3 days with the U.S. Department of Justice providing detailed information about state-sponsored doping in Russia. He did not disclose to them that he had already shared much of the same information with the New York Times. May 11, 2016, Brian picks up Grigory at LAX.
Oh my God! You're unrecognizable!
Not recognizable at all. Psychological. Looking in mirror, it's not me.
New York Times is breaking tomorrow.
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 I need. Intravenous injections.
Relax.
Grigory sits shotgun in Brian's car, donning his new look, dark hair and mustache free.
Have you spoke to the Department of Justice yet?
Oh, you know, I told them late this afternoon and they reacted like I expected they would. They're upset.
Right.
They wanted to know, did he provide any documents to them?
He provided lists of doped athletes. He provided an FSB file of how the testing was arranged at Sochi.
Yeah, unfortunately, they're going to terminate the whole... Now that he turned over documents, they're going to cancel, and they're just going to prosecute him. A charcoal-colored illustration depicts the Sochi Olympic cauldron.
It's time for you to enter upon the second stage.
Above it reads, Stage 2, Understanding.
The International Olympic Committee has the honor of announcing that the 22nd Olympic Winter Games in 2014 are awarded to the city of Sochi.
Footage from 2007 shows a huge crowd going wild as Jacques Rode makes the announcement.
Everything has future for my country, for Russia!
Vladimir Putin.
Millions of citizens of Russia are united by the Olympic dream. Our national pledge to you is the choice of Sochi is the best choice.
There's a top-level decision. You know who I mean.
You know who I mean. And Big Boss,
Vladimir Putin saying, we have to show the best result in Sochi.
Result in Sochi.
We must show the others who we are.
Hurrah!
Aerial views show rooftops of a Russian city and a snow-capped mountain ridge.
We could make team clean before Sochi.
1 month. 1 month. An athlete in a Sochi 2014 snowsuit stands with his arms raised before a crowd. But it was decided to use PEDs, performance-enhancing drugs, during Sochi.
Through the competition so that they could be at their very top level.
Right.
Putin shakes hands with IOC President Thomas Bach, then steps to a podium.
So instead of using the science that you developed to get around the system, you abandoned the science.
Yes. The most important, yes. Forget about this.
Putin stands at a podium.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let me declare the 126th session of the International Olympic Committee open. Camera flashes flicker against Putin's black suit jacket and polka dot tie. He taps a stack of note cards on a podium where he stands. At the top of a luge track, a rider races along the ice, pushing a sled.
Opening ceremony
for the most heartbreaking day in sports history. Text reads, May 12th, 2016. Grigory enters a new apartment, locks the door, then sits at a counter with a laptop.
Hi, Brian.
The story just broke.
What do you mean? Is it published or not?
Yes, published.
Published. The story is published.
According to the New York Times, Grigory Rodchenkov.
As a news report plays on TV, Grigory looks up the Times article on his laptop.
This is a photo of bottles. Those bottles were given from Nikita Kamaev.
Grigory Rodchenkov, who ran the laboratory that handled testing for thousands of Olympians, said he developed a three-drug cocktail of banned substances that he mixed with liquor and provided to dozens of Russian athletes, helping to facilitate one of the most elaborate and successful doping ploys in sport history. Over a photo of Bach, a title reads, February 2014.
Join and support our fight for fair play. The athletes deserve it. And to you, my fellow Olympic athletes, I say, respect the rules, play fair, be clean.
He concludes his speech at the Sochi opening ceremonies as Putin claps.
In 2014 in Sochi, did Russia swap out dirty urine for clean urine?
Always.
Always. Grigory sighs deeply. Now, against the black background, glass drug testing vials tumble across the view in slow motion.
The information contained in this little bottle helps keep sport on a level playing field. That's why we created ADAMS, the free anti-doping administration and management system from WADA. All operating under a level of security typically used by financial institutions. In effect, becoming the centralized clearinghouse for all anti-doping information.
A security cap moves toward a bottle Everyone filled with pale yellow liquid, then twists into place, locking its angled teeth with those along the bottle's neck.
Walk us through the collection process.
I mean, the sample is provided in front of a doping control officer. It's in this container. It's divided into two.
The A sample and the B sample, these are the
bottles.
They're called the barricades?
Yes. It's one particular company in Switzerland that makes them.
It's called the Berlinger bottle, and the Berlinger bottle is sort of the state of the art.
And sealed very tight with a vise-like device. The collector is right there watching.
A computer animation illustrates the process.
And then it goes to the lab. It's in the lab that the B bottles are pulled aside and put in the freezer. The analytical work is done on the A sample.
Dr. Olivier Rabin, WADA.
The way we collect the sample, the traceability of the samples, the fact that we've got an A and a B sample is a very, very safe system.
Richard McLaren.
The caps on the bottles, they're designed in such a way that they need to be destroyed to be taken off.
Don Kaplan.
The lab, they have a device that cracks open the A sample. It's the only way you can get it off.
Dick Pound.
If an A sample tests positive and the B gets analyzed, and the B has to confirm the A. That's this enormous protection.
From Nagorno, in preparation to Sochi, it was strict order to develop procedure how we can have new bottles, new caps, or open cap. And this FSB officer, he was responsible for the day when I gave closed barricade. And after half an hour, I receive it opened. And the cap and the bottle are the same. And I can a little bit rinse and then pour and close. Like barricade. It's unbelievable how they could do this. A graphic shows a barricade's teeth disengage. The cap spins off freely. This was named Operation Sochi Resultat. In Russian, Resultat means to achieve positive results. A graphic reads phase one.
So you need clean urines.
I need clean urines for each candidate.
So every single Russian athlete under the state-sponsored doping, you had clean samples of their urine being held.
Yes.
So that if an athlete, anybody needed to be swapped, you could swap them.
Yes.
Yes, but in Sochi, because of the Olympics, I am under double control, both from IOC, WADA, and from I don't know who. Level of security is stunning. It's unbelievable. Dr. Rabin.
There was a delegation of foreign scientists who were embedded in the laboratory. So if there were substitutions, manipulations, these people would have been in the front line to observe this.
In Sochi, laboratory was like this. It was our entrance. But from this behind, where we have a fire exit.
We have a fire exit, there is another building. It was a KGB building. A bank of clean urines were kept here.
Coming into the final two heats are the four-man bobsleigh, pilot Alexander Zubkov, and brakeman Alexei Volkov.
A four-man Russian bobsled team dashes from the start of an ice track, pushing their sleigh, then seamlessly hop inside it. They zip down the track.
Gold to Russia, making their pilot the oldest man ever to win the four-man bobsleigh.
So how many FSB officers were working at Sochi?
100.
Throughout the day, our KGB officer brought the clean urines of all our athletes selected for testing to our secret operational room in the laboratory. Meanwhile, all the urines collected from the athletes during the day were transported to the Olympic Village and held until 1 or 2 a.m. Then I received a call. Grigory, I will be delivering the samples in 15 minutes. Before samples arrived, it gave me time to make sure there was no WADA or IOC observers left snooping around the laboratory. Once samples were checked in, the operation entered the most dangerous phase. When the A and B bottles were split onto two different carts, my assistant wheeled the B bottles into a storage room and slipped the Russian athlete's B bottles into his lab coat. This is highly illegal, but we need to replace these dirty urines. Then he wheeled the cart with the A bottles into the aliquot sampling room, as per procedure.
Because it's supposed to be opened anyway.
For all A samples, yes. To escape the video recording, aliquotting room was like this, and our room, we had the hole in it. A 3D model of the building appears. So we take this little bit, how you say this thing, like this if you have something. You take this table out.
You take this table out, and there is a...
And there is a, like a power outlet blocked with, without any socket.
Socket.
Okay, right.
But then you take it out.
Right, so it looks like it's a power outlet without a socket, but it's not.
It's not. It's a hole.
It's a hole.
Then you're taking both samples through this hole, and A samples just, we immediately pour away and clean.
But the B sample?
B samples are taken by KGB and... In the darkness, people coming from the trash fire exit. Then after 2 hours, they came back with B bottles open to swap. Because, of course, you have in advance clean urine.
So
B samples are finished with the urine swapping, taken by KGB and...
Because the B samples are taken by the IOC and held in long-term storage.
Yes.
If WADA or the IOC retest those samples, would they be clean?
Reanalysis will return negative, because, you know, we are top-level cheaters.
We are top-level cheaters, indeed.
To over-cheat us, you should be much such experience. But how it comes, such experience. More footage shows a Russian luge hopeful speed to a win by 0.8 seconds over a Latvian competitor.
If there were evidence brought forward that showed that a country or a WADA lab had found a way to break into the collection bottles, what do you think that would say about the entire testing system?
David Howman, WADA.
What I would say is that corruption has gone to the depths of that part of the process, which would be most disturbing.
Olivier Nigli, WADA.
It would be obviously a very serious act of manipulation from that lab.
McLaren.
It would be done. It wouldn't work. If that can be done successfully, then the testing system is over.
Does WADA have the ability to catch drug cheats today?
Don Catlin.
No.
Under a night sky, a honeycomb of indigo light glows against the dome of the Sochi Olympic Ceremony Arena. Inside, lines of performers swirl into the shape of the Olympic rings. Because of this whole steroid program, I pulled off 13 gold medals. It's unbelievable. Never before. Everything was made clean, and Putin was very much happy. Standing beside athletes in the arena, Vladimir Putin watches a children's choir perform. The Russian flag is carried to a stage. Three Russian athletes stand on the awards podium and receive their medals from International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach.
Russia came out on top of the medals board, winning 33 overall, including an Olympic high of 13 gold.
The Olympians huddle close and show off their medals. A caption identifies them as men's 50-kilometer cross-country competitors. Bach waves a large Olympic flag. A row of Russian athletes hold hands and raise them high, and an image of Earth is projected onto the arena floor. Fireworks burst in the sky above the Olympic Park. More explosions erupt, illuminating a city under fire. But immediately after, he started war against Ukraine.
Before the Olympics, his popularity rating in Russia had been falling steadily for years. But when the games began, this.
A graph shows Putin's domestic approval jump over 20%. I felt my personal guilt for such an event. Would Russia have less metals? Putin would be not such aggressive. Images show burning trucks, someone being carried on a stretcher, and bodies on the ground, covered in blood-soaked sheets.
What you're about to hear is not lifted from a Tom Clancy novel, nor is it borrowed from the elegant prose of John le Carré or adapted from Robert Ludlum's work. But if the protagonist is to be believed, this drama is the ultimate handiwork of Vladimir Putin and the intelligence successors to the KGB.
Grigory scrolls through the New York Times article.
Brian.
Article is incredible. It's so very good.
I am shocked.
I'm reading twice. Russia cannot breathe. They still even don't respond. Of course, it is midnight, but let me stop you. I just spoke to our lawyer.
What happened?
They're not returning any of his calls.
I am arrested?
We don't know yet. We're in a holding pattern. Grigory stands, silhouetted at a window. I'm sitting locked in my home. I'm a little bit afraid. Let me get this done, and I'll come by, okay?
Putin will kill me.
Against a cloudless sky, the flame of the Sochi Olympic cauldron burns bright.
917.
Grigory holds a cell phone to his ear and jots numbers onto a piece of paper.
Okay.
He paces. In his kitchen, the TV on the counter reports the story.
Russia's sports minister has dismissed the claims as nonsense, adding they were a continuation of the attack on Russian sport,
which was backed up by the deputy sports minister,
Yuri Nagurnia. So that it is clear for everyone, there has never been and there is not any doping program.
Vladimir Putin calls the claims the slander of a turncoat.
Inside Brian's car.
We're meeting with a white-collar attorney. He's handled a lot of criminal cases. And
what happened with his other lawyer?
His other lawyer, they have a Moscow office. It appears that the firm got cold feet due to a conflict of interest, they said.
Tomas Bach, who heads the IOC, said, if this is true, it is an unimaginable level of criminality.
News headlines about the scandal are highlighted in yellow.
Very worrying. We asked the World Anti-Doping Agency to investigate immediately.
The Justice Department is opening an investigation into Russian government officials, athletes, coaches, and anti-doping authorities.
May 17, 2016, the U.S. Department of Justice officially launches an investigation into Russian doping allegations based on Grigory's testimony.
This letter was sent by WADA. Dear Grigory, in light of your recent declarations to the New York Times, we would like to meet with you to better understand the basis of your allegations and your proposed way forward. Sincerely, David Howman and Olivier Nigley. I'm talking tomorrow to another lawyer. So
he seems credible, but of course, you know, it's his word against Russia.
A subtitled news report reads, and of course, there were older questions regarding Rodchenkov's mental health in all this, as 4 years ago, after a failed suicide attempt, he was placed into a mental institution, the diagnosis described as the first stages of schizophrenia. What to do with my wife and children? What they will know? Or I just disappear for them? They'll go crazy. On the phone, Brian, this is David and Olivier. We want this meeting to go ahead. Can you call us back? Brian's car approaches LAX. I'm not ready to answer. We need something lucky, like it's Alice in Wonderland to Rabbit's Hole to sit here.
To wait until it ends. I know, that's why I wanted, we're trying to get this to make it right.
But lawyer is trustful?
He's the big one.
The big one?
Yeah, it's top of the top.
A Russian news report plays. Subtitles read, we are digging deeper into his identity. We've obtained some of his exclusive documents. An image of an email appears with the title, Grigory and Brian's Hacked Emails. Grigory Rodchenkov and American movie director Brian Fogel. They talked many times via email and wrote. The FBI, who are following him closely, Grigory Rodchenkov himself mentioned to his sister in a recent Skype call. Grish, you just sit tight. Don't be too impulsive. No, of course, I will not do anything. Of course, absolutely. Without the protection of the FBI. A Russian reporter follows Marina Rodchenkova, Grigory's sister, as she walks toward a parking lot holding a child's hand. I refuse to make any comments on this. I'm very sorry. I'm sure you have very intelligent people who can explain all this. Grigory video chats with his wife. Honey, I already spoke to the children. They're fine. Grisha, now it's another problem. I'm worried about you. I'll take care of this. Just hold on. This is what I'm worried about. They're turning us into the monster now. Or trying to. It's okay. We'll get through this. She leans her cheek against her fist. What do you want to come of all of this? A view shows an amber sun on the horizon over the ocean. Gulls fly overhead. To the future or to the past. Grigory reads a new copy of 1984. To a time when thought is free. When truth exists and what is done cannot be undone. Jim Walden, partner Walden, Macht & Horan, LLP.
What everyone is so interested in is the evidence that he has, both in terms of the documents on his computer and the cell phone that he was using at the time. Two people connected with the Russian doping program are already dead under circumstances that seem highly suspect. One of the first things that I learned from authorities when I came onto the case was that the Russian government has the resources and the will. So we've had to develop a very multi-stage protocol to minimize the chances that our conversations would be intercepted. The main concern is that they would be able, through those communications, to try to triangulate his location, and if they have agents in the United States, then to do him harm.
Grigory slams his book shut.
You know, we're 84 days away to the Summer Games in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil.
Until now, there's only really been hard evidence about athletics, but this is now pointing the finger at a whole range of sports.
May 20th, 2016, Brian meets members of WADA and the IOC.
As you guys all know, there's a Department of Justice investigation going. So Grigory's been advised by his lawyers he should not be here for security reasons.
They convene in a conference room.
I worked with Grigory over about 6 months to compile record of what happened in Russia. This is the spreadsheet of every single athlete that was on the state-mandated protocol. What every single athlete was taking in London, including their sample numbers in collection. When Christian goes back and tests these samples correctly, she will basically find them all positive. And we have all their protocols before the London Games. We have the same for Beijing. And this outlines how Russia was collecting thousands and thousands of clean samples for swabbing.
This we saw, but we want to ask question as well as how it was done, understanding.
So sodium chloride is added to the sample to increase specific gravity. So many of these samples are going to have 100 times the sodium content that should be in somebody's urine.
Let me make sure I understand. They were taking the bee to be opened secretly?
Yes.
You said it was removed after the Paralympic Games. Does that mean that it happened also for the Paralympic Games?
Yes. Both the Olympic and the Paralympic Games, they swapped urine. Vancouver was really the impetus for the urine swapping operation. They only won a handful of medals, and to see to it that that didn't happen again. At Sochi.
In terms of time sensitive, London is more sensitive in the sense that these athletes are going to the next Rio Games, not the winter ones.
Sochi, this is London, this is Beijing. This goes all the way back to 1968. There never was anti-doping in Russia, period, ever.
Across all summer sports?
Every sport.
And he's sorry?
Who's that?
Grigory.
Do you think that
as a scientist, I am happy to have been in Sochi and to everything we gave credibility to the lab? Do you think that I feel good today? Do you think that the athletes who were cheated feel good?
You know, and as angry as you guys might be, I think the one thing Grigory risked his life and is risking his life to do this. He left his wife behind. He left his children behind. He left all of his belongings behind, all of his financial security behind. We're here to get everything out.
Okay. A letter from the IOC.
Dear Mr. Fogel and Dr. Rodchenkov, the IOC has full confidence in the authority of Professor Richard McLaren and respects his judgment to ensure a comprehensive inquiry. We will act swiftly to take the necessary measures. Sincerely yours, Thomas Bach, President.
Transferring you to
Richard McLaren.
You speak of them as being orders. Are they actually orders? Like Nagornia is ordering Grigory or ordering the lab? Does it matter?
Yes, Nagornov is ordering Grigory. There's emails like explicitly about soccer players. There's
Grigory mines various sports to Brian.
Explicitly of, you know, of weightlifters, that essentially were of rowers of. Of swimmers, where Grigory had found the positive.
Then they are concerned about it. They find the right profile in the bank and pick that one out of the bank. And they run the analysis on that one.
You got it.
I see. If this all can be proved, it's quite mind-blowing. The sooner I have it, the better.
Okay.
It's incredibly important to a hell of a lot of people around the world.
We do
it now?
Yes.
On a computer screen, files transfer, emails and spreadsheets flash in rapid succession. A new title appears, June 17, 2016. After receiving additional evidence from Grigory, the IAAF upholds its ban on Russia, barring the entire track and field team from competing in the Rio Olympics. Sebastian Coe.
Undermining the confidence of their competitors and the public.
They are the pride and joy of Russian sport. But track and field stars like pole vaulter Yelena Isinbayeva won't be going for gold at next month's Rio Olympics, despite having friends in high places.
A photo shows Miss Isinbayeva with Putin in an ornate ballroom in Moscow. This is truly important to us because Isinbayeva fights back tears as she and Vladimir Putin stand at podiums in front of a crowd in matching navy blazers, each adorned with the Russian coat of arms. Today, our track and field team finds itself in a dire situation. We have been banned from the Olympics very aggressively, without any evidence or proof. She shares a glance with the Russian president. Now, a journalist interviews Vitaly Vitko. So Grigory Rodchenkov, who is the director of the Moscow WADA lab, was forced to resign from his position, even though, when you think about it, he was a brilliant doctor. So he's fired, and then somehow ends up in the United States, where he subsequently took his story to the New York Times. Not exactly the smallest paper on earth. When he gets there, he turns over all this information. Finally, he stated that the entire doping program was, in fact, part of a state-run system. Vitaly Mutko. Whatever he claims, he is confusing himself with the government. You see, all of his claims against the government, he did himself. It was a solo act. So the swapping, the destruction of samples, this was all just a farce. Again, I just don't see how this is possible. How could it be? Please let me repeat, these allegations are not facts, just rumors and speculations. July 18th, 2016.
Welcome to the McLaren Independent Commission News Conference here in Toronto. In May, Professor McLaren was mandated by the World Anti-Doping Agency with respect to the allegations made by the former director of the WADA-accredited Moscow laboratory, Dr. Grigory Rodchenkov.
The investigation has established the findings set out in the report beyond a reasonable doubt. Our experts were to determine if samples had scratches and marks on the inside of the bottle caps, representative of a tool used to open the cap. Of the set of samples suspected of being swapped, we were able to confirm 100% had evidence of tampering.
Photos show the tampering marks.
We've conducted cyber and forensic analysis, secured data from hard drives, and reviewed thousands of pages of documents. The Moscow laboratory operated for the protection of doped Russian athletes within a state-directed fail-safe system. Ministry of Sport, Deputy Minister of Sport, Yuri Nagarov, RUSADA, that's the anti-doping agency in Russia, and the former director of the Moscow testing laboratory, were all involved in this operation. With the active participation and assistance of the Russian Federal Security Service, formerly known as the KGB, the FSB, who had access to the Sochi lab under the guise of the building maintenance contractor, can be identified in the evidence we have.
Alex Mihailovich, RT. Now, Rodochenkov himself is a person who's under investigation in Russia currently. He took off from Russia. He seems to be a character that you really can't rely on, and a lot of this relies on Rodochenkov. Does this compromise your report?
He is a person in this investigation, but not the only person in this investigation. I can say without a doubt, Dr. Rodochenkov is telling the truth and was a truthful witness. I was able to corroborate that because of all of the scientific and forensic information. My team can demonstrate the existence of this system beyond a reasonable doubt.
Watching the press conference on his laptop, Grigory lowers his head. A new title, July 18, 2016. 2 weeks before the start of the Summer Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro, WADA recommends that all Russian athletes across all events be banned from competition.
It was clear from Richard McLaren's report that was contained in our independent commission. It's proven that offences were committed.
Craig Reedy.
So, I don't think anybody can accuse us of sitting back and doing nothing.
President Putin condemned the findings, saying the world is seeing a dangerous recurrence of politics interfering in sport.
Russia's government says any decision which collectively punishes its competitors is unacceptable. Richard Conway, BBC News.
9 days before the start of the Rio Olympics, a holding tray closes over a piece of paper on a rectangular-shaped fingerprinting device. Grigory looks away as a man squeezes ink from a small tube onto a piece of glass next to the device's printing pad. A hand roller wheels back and forth over the glass. An empty plastic bag is labeled DNA buckle swab collection kit.
I'm gonna be rolling your hands like that, but just let me do all of the work.
An FBI agent fingerprints Grigory. Well, what were you all doing today? We were worrying all day, but today I was paying for everything, bills, etc. Nika, we will get through this. Oh, you have new glasses. Not that new. I have some sad news to tell you. Yes? I am going into witness protection program. You are? Why? Because the current situation is unclear. So, this is serious? Yes. For a while? He shrugs. Teardrops cling inside the lenses of his glasses as he stares at his wife. I was thinking of you yesterday. Well, visa is just one thing, but you are my bride and keeper of the family and the dogs. Grigory, I was worrying all day, and on top of that, trying to reach you. Don't tell anyone anything. Who would I even tell? I don't see much of anyone these days. Maybe they'll pay off some officials to sit in prison for some time, as a formality. I have to get going. Veronica. Yes? You wrote down the lawyer's contact information and have everything. You know what I'm talking about. Her head hangs somberly. Of course I understand. It's just, this is all so sad. Grigory stares at his laptop. Muscles in his cheeks visibly clench and release repeatedly as his eyes dart and his mouth pinches into a thin line. Later, shirtless, he drinks from a coffee mug. Whatever packing you need to do and getting dressed.
Okay.
Grigory stands and turns, revealing a scar on his chest from his suicide attempt. Grigory zips a packed suitcase. Now dressed in a gray, white, and brown plaid button-up shirt and fuchsia shorts, he grabs his luggage and follows Brian and Max down a hallway. They continue along a sidewalk leading away from his apartment.
So do we know what you're going to be able to...
I still don't know
how it will be organized. Protection means protection that you don't know how it's organized.
What do you foresee at this point?
I will start writing book. At LAX. Oh, we are on the first floor. Where is the exit? They leave an airport parking garage, wheel his bags through the crosswalk, then ascend a level on an escalator. I wonder when I'm going to see you again. Don't worry, I'll be back. At a curbside check-in, Brian and Grigory embrace. Brian, you are medium-sized monster. Remember me. Bring me back to Los Angeles. They pat one another on the arm, and with a wave, they part ways. Grigory continues into the terminal with his carry-ons. From black, the date July 25th, 2016 fades in beside a photo of IOC President Thomas Bach.
We have decided today that Russian athletes can compete in Rio.
More text reads, despite overwhelming forensic evidence of state-sponsored fraud and corruption, the International Olympic Committee dismissed WADA's recommendation, refusing to place a total ban on Russia's sports federation. At the Rio opening ceremonies, Russian athletes wear their matching navy blazers and wave Russian flags. More text reads, 291 of Russia's 389 athletes were allowed to compete in the Rio Summer Olympic Games. Swimmers launch from starting blocks. A Russian wrestler takes down a Turkish opponent. With a bloody split brow, he stands victorious. More Russian athletes compete in handball, tennis, boxing, and judo, scoring wins, waving their country's flag, and flashing their gold medals for photo ops. The Olympic flag flies over the Rio closing ceremonies. Above a charcoal-colored illustration of a set of lungs, text reads, Stage 3, Acceptance. Winston sank his arms to his sides and slowly refilled his lungs with air. In synchronization, two Russian divers flipped backward off towering diving boards. His mind slid away into the labyrinth world of doublethink. The divers hit the water. To know and not to know. To be conscious of complete truthfulness while telling carefully constructed lies. To repudiate morality while laying claim to it. Bach drapes a gold medal around a Russian athlete's neck, then fireworks burst in the sky over a stadium. To forget whatever it was necessary to forget.
Join and support our fight for fair play. Respect the rules. Play fair. Be clean.
Then to draw it back into memory again, the moment when it was needed.
This decision is about justice. Justice has to be independent from politics.
In Red Square,
hurrah!
Putin stands before his forces. And then promptly to forget it again. A montage shows an array of athletes and athletic events over past decades.
Fails a drug test is stripped to the gold medal.
All above all, to apply the same process to the process itself.
I'm just trying to make sure your testimony is clear.
How many times have you said, I've never taken drugs? How clear is that?
Okay, I think it's clear. Well, can I ask you some of this?
And if all others accepted the lie, then the lie passed into history and became truth. Vladimir Putin, we've never had a doping program in Russia. This is just impossible, unthinkable. We would never do something like that. I don't even recall the name of that citizen who defected, the one who ran the Russian anti-doping lab. Even to understand the word doublethink involves the use of doublethink.
We are now able to put the findings of the first report into sharper and clearer focus. I can confirm for years, spectators have been deceived.
McLaren.
The desire to win medals superseded their collective moral and ethical compass and Olympic values of fair.
I was doing in parallel two things which canceled out each other in being fully contradictory. Grigory demonstrates the locking of a Barrett kit bottle. Doping and anti-doping. A sketch of Grigory sits framed like a book's chapter heading. It was pure, exact doublethink. The view travels down the page past sketches of the others involved in this story. I was like a slave. Slavery was my freedom. Till the end. The view lands on a drawing of Grigory sitting in a straitjacket with antlers jutting from his head, then zooms out, framing him behind a prison cell window. The cell becomes dark, obscuring him. So, within the dark cell, an illuminated white feather flutters down.
Truth.
Over black, text fades in. U.S. law enforcement believe Grigory is the subject of monitoring by Russian officials in the United States and that there may be a credible threat to his life. The Russian government has stripped him of his personal assets and opened criminal proceedings against him. His wife, children, and sister were interrogated, their homes were searched, and their passports confiscated. Grigory remains in an unknown location in U.S. protective custody. Over black and white photos of those involved, text reads, Yuri Nagornia resigned as deputy sports minister. He is currently under criminal investigation by Russian authorities and denies any involvement in state-sponsored doping. Vitaly Mutko was promoted by Vladimir Putin to deputy prime minister of Russia. He denies any involvement in state-sponsored doping. December 9, 2016, Richard McLaren releases his final findings. More than 1,000 Russian athletes across all sports were involved in the conspiracy. McLaren went on to conclude, it is impossible to know how deep and how far back this conspiracy goes. December 23, 2016, despite 1,666 documents made public by Richard McLaren as evidence, President Vladimir Putin vehemently denies any existence of a state-sponsored doping program within his government. 4 days later, the new head of Russia's anti-doping agency admits to the New York Times that an institutional conspiracy had been in place to cheat the Olympics for years. Russia retracted the official statement the following day. A view fades in on Grigory and follows him around the sunlit white porch of Brian's home. He continues down a staircase to the beach, where he finds the copper-colored canine Max waiting. Grigory spreads his arms and chases Max along the water's edge beside waves crashing on the shore. Max stops at a boulder and urinates, then trots off, following Grigory. Over black, more text reads, the full Russian Sports Federation is set to compete in the 2018 Winter Olympic Games in Pyeongchang, South Korea. Russia is hosting the 2018 FIFA World Cup. On the sandy beach beside oceanfront homes on stilts, Grigory jogs back toward Brian's house with Max, who races past him. Max ascends the staircase beside the house. Grigory follows, hoisting himself up the steps. At the top, he gazes down the stairs, wiping his feet, then disappears inside. Cut to black. Directed by Brian Fogel. Written by Brian Fogel, Mark Munro, John Bertain, and Timothy Rode. Produced by Dan Kogan. Produced by Brian Fogel. Produced by David Fiocco, Jim Schwartz. Co-producer, Andrew Sigman. Co-producers, Mark Munro, David Schulafer. Edited by John Bertain. Edited by Kevin Klauber, ACE, Timothy Rode. Directors of Photography, Jake Swanko, Timothy Rode. Music composed by Adam Peters. Executive producers, Mike and Baird, Teddy Leifer. Executive producers, Timothy Rode, Barbara and Eric Dobkin, Craig Sims. Executive producers, Angus Wall, Linda Carlson. Executive producers, Adam Del Deo, Jason Spingarkov, Lisa Nishimura. Co-executive producers, Ken Nolan, Ken Pelletier, Lagra Lane Group, and Jenny Raskin. Associate producers, Doug Blush, Chad Gutstein, Michael Lustig, Jake Swanko. Sound designers, E.J. Halowicki, Christopher Barnett. Music supervisor, Andrea Von Forrester. Lead additional editor, John Stoby Stoba. Associate editor, Hagina Nazarian. Additional and assistant editing, Sally Volkman. Additional editing, Phil Ciprietti, Noah Muki. Editorial consultant, Doug Blush, ACE. Art direction by John Bertain. More credits roll. Illuminated against the black background, ashes flutter down from above. They're joined by a black feather, alight with flames. The burning plume lands in water, which reflects the amber of the dancing flames. As the flames diminish, text appears. This film is dedicated to whistleblowers who seek truth over consequences and to clean athletes everywhere who choose to play by the rules. To learn more about whistleblowers in sports and to support their work, go to www.fairsport.org. Copyright 2017, Manatee Productions, LLC, all rights reserved. Ownership of this motion picture is protected by copyright and other applicable laws of the United States and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition of this motion picture, including soundtrack, is prohibited and could result in criminal prosecution as well as civil liability. Manatee Productions, LLC, is the author of this motion picture for the purpose of copyright and other laws. Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix.